In this episode, you are going to learn 25 essential hacks for making your podcast stand out. Stuff like growth strategies, how to be a better interviewer, how to be a better host when you're doing solo episodes, and much more. Welcome back to Oh My Pod, the podcast that helps you automate and grow your podcast so you can grow your business. My name is Justin J. Moore, your host. And the idea for this episode actually comes from a post that I made on LinkedIn, which in and of itself is an idea that I would say you should think about doing. If you make a post, if you write a great post on Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram, think about whether or not that actually could be a good podcast episode as well, because that's how this happened right now. So here I am turning a LinkedIn post into an episode. And I was writing this post and I thought, how do I make this post just the most valuable LinkedIn post that I've ever created? And that's how I came to this idea of just writing 25 of the most important things that I have learned from 2,500 plus, probably way more, but I'm being conservative, 2,500 hours of studying podcasting, marketing, editing podcasts as well. Gosh, that would be like 5,000 hours. Just a lot of time in the world of podcasting and marketing and business. These are the things that I've concluded are 25 of the most important. So by listening to this, you will be getting like the best of my ideas. And I know it's going to be really helpful. And as always, just before I start, I just want to say I'm inviting you to my free community on School, where you can talk to me one-on-one. I'm always answering messages in there. You can get access to thousands of dollars of resources for free. It's all totally free. We're doing it out of goodwill and to have great conversations with people like you. So go to the link below in the show notes and you'll find it there. Okay, so let's just get into this. And I'm just going to kind of go through each of the hacks one by one and give my thoughts on them. So first, serve a specific purpose for a specific listener, which means that your show shouldn't just be, you know, quote unquote, 45 minutes of interviews with various experts. It's like, that's not specific. It's so vague. Like, who's your listener? Nobody knows. So what I've learned is that podcasting needs to be very specific, but especially at the beginning of the show. It's like there are a lot of different types of content that people can consume. And so if your podcast is serving a very small pond, like a specific type of person, that's how you build fans. Stuff like, I mean, imagine if you were to do a podcast about like fly fishing in Georgia. It's like, sure, the total amount of people who you could serve with that podcast is smaller. But imagine if you were a fly fisher or a fly fisherman, whatever, in Georgia, and you saw that that podcast existed, you would instantly you'd be a fan. And you'd keep coming back over and over again. And then over time, the podcast could expand to outside of Georgia. Now it's fly fishing in the US, meaning, especially at the beginning, it's very important to start with a very specific type of person who you're serving. And then as you build up the reps and you get more comfortable and you build an audience, you can start kind of expanding. So that's number one. Number two, if you create an episode that is too far away from the core purpose that your show serves, the listener might lose trust because you hit them with content that they didn't sign up for. So this is very similar to the one before. It's like, if you have a podcast about fly fishing and then suddenly, you know, you may also be interested in like, I don't know, Texas Hold'em or something, poker, right? So now you do a whole episode on poker and your fly fishing audience is like, what the heck? I just tuned in. I was so excited for this drive because I knew I was going to listen to a 30-minute episode on my commute to work of this show. And now it's poker and now they have to go and search for a different show to listen to. And it's like, it's annoying for them. And so once you break that trust, like there's kind of a cut that you've made there. And you know, when they think about your show in the future, they're going to remember that, okay, I can't be certain that this podcast is going to be creating content specifically for me with each episode. So we want to avoid that, especially again, at the start when people are just getting to know you. Once you have more trust, you can treat your audience to a little bit more of an expanded view of things. Okay, number three, you need to do solo episodes. You can't just do interviews. I was just editing one of my podcasts. I wasn't actually editing it, but I was looking for clips because I like to find moments to clip out myself. And then I have my team actually do the clipping. But I was looking through and on Riverside, it shows the full audio track of both me and the guest speaking. And my voice was highlighted in green and the guest was highlighted in pink. And what I noticed is that almost the entire audio file was pink. Like 90% of that audio file was pink, meaning the guest speaking. So I thought to myself, if I'm the one paying for this to be produced, I'm the one who's hosting it, who's putting in all the work, why would I have a show where 90% of the time somebody else is talking? So interviews make sense. Of course, I love doing interviews. I've actually been doing a lot of interviews lately. But solo episodes are a necessity. They're not optional. They are a necessity for 99% of shows. And so doing a solo episode means tackling a very specific problem that you know your listener is dealing with. And so usually, you know, you'll get asked questions in your business day to day. People will ask you something and you'll give the same answer over and over again. And, you know, you're so used to answering these same questions. That's a podcast episode right there. Then when somebody asks you that in the future, you say, hey, I actually made a podcast episode on that. And you can link that in there. That's kind of a side thing. Anyways, number four, solo episodes usually have higher retention rates than interviews. So this is why you should be doing solo episodes as well. Because when you do an interview, there is more rambling, there are more options or more opportunities for you to lose your audience. And we don't want to lose our audience. So solo episodes, the reason why they have a higher retention rate usually is because you can literally direct the content exactly where you want. I mean, you are the one deciding what to say next. You have the plan in front of you if you want. So solo episodes have higher retention rates. We must do solo episodes. Number five, your podcast name should reflect what your show is actually about. So, I mean, this is just kind of a no-brainer. A friend of mine, you probably know him, founder of Podmatch, Alex Sanfilippo, said that the perfect podcast name is one that you do not need to explain. It's just one of those things where it's like, if somebody is deciding whether or not to listen to your show and they've landed on your podcast page on Spotify and Apple or something, even if the episodes seem like they line up with this person, even if, you know, the content looks good on the outside, if the name is off, it's just going to put like a doubt in their mind. And the other thing is that having a podcast name that actually describes what the show is about also helps with like searchability. And it helps when someone mentions your show on, you know, let's say someone mentions your show on their Instagram story. And the name of the show itself is like a call out for what the content is. And so it's sort of like the thing that shows up everywhere. You want it to be an accurate description of what's actually going on. So for us, Oh My Pod, I mean, it's kind of a play on words. Maybe if I could go back, I might change it. But at this point, I really like the personality behind that. But it makes sense. I mean, Oh My Pod. Most people can discern from that that we are talking about podcasting. So anyways, that's number five. So number six, your episode titles are one of the most important show elements. So not just for SEO, but also for just getting people to actually hit play on the episodes, kind of like your podcast name. The titles, people are going to be scanning through a new podcast when they go to, you know, Spotify, let's say they land on your podcast page, they're going to look through the last 5 to 10 episodes. And if none of the titles hook them, if none of the titles hook their attention and get them to hit play, then they're not going to hit play and they're going to leave. Honestly, like when people are going to look at a new show, like that's the number one thing that they're scanning for is the titles of the episodes or seeing, do any of these call out to me? And so what I like to say is if your podcast is like the inside of your store, then your podcast titles are like the storefront. It's like the stuff that is hanging in the windows. And so even though the inside of the store might be great, if the stuff hanging in the windows isn't, then is anybody really going to like show any attention to it, give any attention to it? Maybe not. So number seven, your intro is everything. The first 60 to 90 seconds of your podcast, super important. Just like Instagram, just like YouTube, TikTok, whatever, the hook is really important. So my tip would be to ditch the canned pre-recorded intro, ditch the copyright free music, ditch the voiceover done by the voiceover professional or whatever, and, you know, record the intro yourself and do it differently every single time. Keep it dynamic and engaging. Number eight, you need to introduce yourself and your show's mission in every single episode. And this is what you do in the intro. You hear me do this all the time because the reason is if somebody comes to episode 50 and the only time you've ever truly introduced your show is on episode one, do you really think they're going to go back to episode one? So now they're on episode 50, they're getting thrown into content that they have never heard before. There's like a whole bunch of new things and they don't even know who you are, what the show is. Every single time you need to let them know. I say, welcome back to Oh My Pod, the podcast that teaches you how to automate and grow your podcast. My name is Justin Moore. Every single time. Introduce the name of the show, the mission of the show or the tagline, and then your name. Introduce yourself. So that's number eight. Number nine, only invite guests who actually add value to your listener's journey. This means not bringing people on who you just want to talk to, but bringing people on who you know have a specific expertise in something or a specific expertise that outclasses your own on something to do with your podcast niche. So for me, there's certain things in podcasting that I'm not an expert in. Email marketing, for example. So when I bring a guest on, email marketing would be a great example of a topic that a guest would be perfect for because I cannot serve my audience as good as I would like to. So that's when it makes sense to bring on an expert to talk about it. Otherwise, why bring on an expert if you can just do the episode yourself? It would be simpler. It would be easier to listen to. It'd be more direct. Like if you could do it yourself, do it yourself. Connect with your audience one-on-one. Do the solo episode. So only bring guests on when it actually serves the journey of the listener. So think about the listener first. Okay, so number 10, do not edit your own podcast. Leave it to the professionals. This is a more intensive type of work than people understand. There is serious audio engineering that goes into creating really crisp podcast audio. You cannot learn it on your own in a week. This is something that people spend years attuning their ears to, years learning. And if you want to have a truly A-plus level show, your audio needs to match that. And it's not going to match it if you edit it yourself. I can guarantee that. If you somehow were able to get it even close to the level of a professional audio engineer, you would spend so many hours editing that podcast. How much is your time worth? I think most listeners here, at least $50 an hour. I think on the high end, we probably have some listeners who are $400, $500 an hour. And if you are spending even 2 hours per episode editing, that's 8 hours per month. And let's just say your time is worth $100. $100 an hour, you are spending $800 per month editing your podcast. You could probably get someone else to edit it for less or the same at a much higher quality, and you could then go and focus those 8 hours back onto actually producing amazing content for the podcast. It is mind-boggling to me that people think they need to edit it on their own. I think it's like a manipulation or something. Like they've been manipulated into thinking that that's something they need to do in order to be a true podcaster. I completely disagree. I think you need to have somebody else do it. And it's great to bring people into the fold of your podcast so you can focus on the most important things. Number 11, you don't need expensive equipment to look and sound great. You really don't. You want to know my setup right now? I am using a $90 microphone stand, a $800 microphone, and I'm using my phone to record. And my microphone is plugged into a little box that was $150. Now, this is a more intensive setup. Your setup could look something like this: $200 microphone, maybe like $25 stand. That's it. You don't need a box to plug it into the computer. You just plug it right in with a USB. So let's say it's like $300 for the mic and stand setup, and then your phone. That's it. Your phone's free. You already have your phone. That's the whole thing. And then I use Riverside to record, which is $20 a month. It's the whole game, right? So virtual recording studio, easy microphone setup with a stand. I guess a cord too, but the mic usually comes with a cord. The mic I would recommend is called the Shure MV7. That happens to be like a $300 to $350 mic. So even at the higher end, and that's a high quality mic, even at the higher end, you're looking at maybe $400 total with the stand and the microphone, and then just record with your iPhone. And that's it. Obviously, you could get deeper into it, you get lights and stuff, but really, like, to look and sound great, you don't need all that. To look and sound amazing, that's when you get into that, you know, higher level of equipment. Number 12, your podcast can have multiple rotating calls to action, but it should only have one call to action per episode. So this is a bit of a, you know, point of contention. People have different opinions about this, but I believe that every single one of your episodes should only have one call to action in it. Now, this could be a different call to action each episode, or like, you know, maybe three or four that you rotate. But I believe that your podcast should have one central call to action in order to not confuse people. The other thing is that as listeners listen for longer periods of time, it gets kind of confusing for them to remember what kind of stuff you are offering. Whereas, for example, what I do, I just want everybody to join my free community. That's all I want. That's all I say every episode. Now, the outro of the podcast, I ask for a review, but that's a little bit different. I wouldn't necessarily call that. It is a call to action. But what I'm talking about is calls to action within the episode itself, like the ones where you either stop the episode to say something or you stop at the beginning before the content, like what I usually do. The outro, though, I'm just always asking for a review because no matter what happens, reviews are always going to be useful. So whereas there's certain calls to action that, you know, might not be evergreen, like if you were saying, come to my webinar, that's like, you can't put that in your outro forever because your webinar is going to be over. Anyways, I hope that makes sense. Just start by just giving one single place you want people to go and use it every single episode for like 16 episodes. Then if you want to swap out to a new call to action later, do that. But I just don't like the idea of throwing in so many different calls to action all the time. It gets people confused. Okay, number 13, Bringing guests on your show only makes sense when they bring a level of expertise to an area that outclasses your own. Otherwise, just do the episode yourself and make it clear and concise. Pretty much what I said earlier, I didn't realize that this was its whole other own point. But yeah, a guest, in my opinion, only makes sense when they bring a level of expertise to something that outclasses your own. Otherwise, just do it yourself. So, number 14, release episodes at least weekly, but more often is even better. So at least weekly, of course, especially when starting out, especially if you have no clout for what you're doing yet. If you don't release weekly, people are just going to forget about who you are. Bi-weekly, monthly, no way. It's just going to be so hard to actually gain any traction, especially like if you're releasing bi-weekly or monthly. A podcast really only starts gaining traction, like when you're starting from the ground up with no audience before, really starts gaining traction around 50 episodes, right? Like, or upwards of at least like 30, 40, 50 to 100. Those are like where it really starts gaining traction. If you're releasing monthly, how long is it going to take you to get to 50 episodes? Years. Bi-weekly, same thing. You're just doubling the amount of time that it's going to take for your podcast to actually gain any traction. So in my opinion, if you're going to podcast, do it weekly. Put in the extra little bit of time to double the episodes, or else just don't do it at all. Maybe podcasting is not the right platform right now. And then of course, releasing more than weekly, there's no negatives of that. It's just the more you can release, the better. The easiest way to double your downloads is to double your release rate. Releasing twice a week rather than once a week is going to double your downloads, if not more. So at least weekly, but you can always throw in more episodes. And actually, episode 57 that I did with Rob Cressy talks about a strategy that you can use to turn one interview into two episodes, which was really cool. Okay, now number 15. So the idea of seasons, like podcast seasons, it sounds nice, but breaks will always result in a portion of your audience not returning. Anytime you take a break, a portion of people are just going to forget you don't exist. If that still means that you want to do seasons, go for it. But you have to accept the fact that you will lose a large portion of your audience every single time. Podcasting is about consistency. It's about becoming part of people's routine. And if you leave them, they're just going to go to a different show, right? Most people only have space, like even real avid podcast listeners only have between like 4 to 8 podcasts on rotation at any point in time. They don't listen to more than like 4 to 8 shows. So something to think about. Number 16, have an assistant manage the podcast administration. So like the little in-between kind of annoying little tasks, right? Somebody else should manage that. Your time is too valuable to be spending it, you know, uploading files, scheduling episodes. Like these are things somebody else can do. You can create an SOP, a standard operating procedure of how to do it, and then stop doing it immediately because it's going to result in you getting burnt out and spending less time on the content and having less brain space for being a great interviewer and a great host. Okay, so that's that. Number 17. A low quality podcast reflects poorly on your business. A lot of people say that, you know, your podcast could just be you talking into a mic and it's more important to get it out there than to make it great. I completely disagree. When we are doing a podcast that is connected to our business or connected to something that we sell or something that we offer, which is what most of you guys are doing, if not all of you guys, what we need to understand is that when people look at that, it is a reflection of your business. So if your camera quality is terrible, your audio quality is terrible, your content is bad, what do you think people are going to assume about the business that you have or the services you offer? Especially if you're in something like marketing or content creation or something like that where you actually help people create content or you help people market their business or get more leads or something like that. Then if they come to your page and they see that your content is just terrible quality, It's almost like it's kind of the feeling of like it's like hypocrisy, right? It's like, how can you tell me that I need to be better at marketing my business? And then also you have a podcast that looks like, you know, it was filmed with a Nokia phone or something, right? So it's important to put in the extra effort to have the show look and sound good. Number 18, podcast clips are great for nurturing an existing audience, but they are not going to go viral. So especially like if you're using something like Opus Clips, it's just 99.9% of the time, it's not going to go viral. Everything on social media is about the hook. It's about like the story and the hook and it's got to be like very intentionally crafted. And podcast clips are repurposed. They come from the episode that's already there. We don't get to craft them from the ground up. So it's very unlikely that they're going to go viral unless you're talking about a big show that had some crazy guest on that's saying some ridiculous story about how they like jumped off a 97-story building and landed in a puddle of, I don't even know, right? Like, unless there's an unbelievably crazy story, then, and it's from like a, you know, somebody famous or something like that, then it's going to be really difficult for them to go viral. But I said 99.9% won't, so that, you know, 0.1% will. But they are good for nurturing your audience. They're good for showing up in front of your audience, putting your face in front of your audience and serving your audience. Like, let's say, I mean, I have lots of people who follow me because they want to learn about podcasting. The clips that I post, those people are going to know, oh, there's Justin. He always tells me something interesting about podcasting and I always learn something. They'll watch the whole clip. The clip will nurture them, will remind them that I exist, will help me show up in front of them. But they won't necessarily, the clips won't necessarily bring new people into my space. They will, however, if I collaborate on Instagram or tag somebody who then shares the post on Facebook. In that case, you are getting more eyes on it, but it's not like the clip is just going to go out and start bringing in followers. It's very unlikely. Number 19, instead of reading your guests' bios, share how your guests' achievements and experience will benefit your listener. No more reading guest bios. John Doe was a corporate agency for 5 years till he left and became, it's like nobody, like your guests, the second they hear you reading something or even think you're reading something, boom, tuned out. They're gone. They don't want that. They want dynamic. They want stories. They want how you know them. How did you meet them? What do you think about what they've done? Like, you could say, I love this guest because, you know, I met him here and he just captivated me with his story. And the reason why I brought him onto the show for you guys is because I know he's going to help you. I know he's going to help you guys learn about this and this and this because he's so good at that. So the idea is to bring your audience into the fold and treat them as human beings. You don't want to read, you don't just want to read at them. You want to bring them into the story. The whole thing with podcasting is like your listener is like the person on the journey in the story, right? And you are the guide of the story. So your listener is like the hero and you're the guide. And so rather than just reading at them and having them kind of be a fly on the wall, you want to put them in the driver's seat. Like, I brought him here for you because I thought when I met him, oh my gosh, my audience would love this. You guys would love this. That's how you treat your audience. Number 20, when doing an interview, record your intro after the episode. If you don't record after the episode, how on earth are you going to know what you even talked about? How are you going to highlight the three things that they're going to learn in that episode or the five things that they're not going to expect from this episode? How are you going to be able to craft a good hook? That first 60 seconds we said was so important. How are you going to craft that if you don't even know exactly what you talked about? You can have an idea of how the episode is going to go because you've written your questions and you've listened to this person talk before, but there's always going to be curveballs. And sometimes the curveballs are the most exciting things to highlight at the start of the episode. Do your intros after. Number 21, put the show on YouTube. Pin your favorite episode on your YouTube channel as the highlighted video when people come. Make a banner for the channel on Canva. Create a thumbnail template that you use for every single time. It doesn't need to be perfect. You need to be showing up on YouTube though. There's just no reason not to. YouTube is the most accessible out of all of the podcasting platforms. Even if people on YouTube don't necessarily always listen because they're, you know, they're watching. It's a very different behavior than playing something on Spotify. But the YouTube link, like your YouTube episode link, is more accessible than any other one because you know that when you send it, the person is going to be able to actually see the video from there. Whereas if you send a Spotify link, they go, I don't use Spotify. Too bad, I guess. They're not going to listen. If you send the YouTube link, they're going to go there. Then if they're like, oh man, I would like to listen to this, you have the Apple and Spotify links below in the description. Easy. YouTube needs to be there. And it also is a way for you to just show up in more places. Like, you're already doing the episode. You're already recording the video when you do your interview. It takes like an extra 10 minutes to get the thing on YouTube. And now suddenly, you have an active weekly YouTube channel on top of that. And down the road, if you wanted to go harder on YouTube, there's a whole bunch of strategies you could do, like optimizing your thumbnail, creating shorts that are outside of the podcast, not repurposing, but you could then start to grow your podcast through YouTube. One of our clients, we thought that he was going to be an audio first podcast. We didn't even think about YouTube, but we just threw it up there anyways. His show has gotten 40,000 views on YouTube completely organically within the first 30 episodes. So his show actually ended up taking off on YouTube. He has almost 1,000 subscribers within the first 6 months, completely organic, zero paid, just because people go to YouTube because it's the most accessible platform. Use YouTube. Number 22, YouTube makes your podcast accessible to non-Apple and non-Spotify users. Well, I guess we kind of covered that. So 22 is a write-off. We already knew that. 23, ask for reviews as much as possible without being annoying. They're really freaking important. They're social proof. It's the same thing as like Google reviews. I don't need to explain this to you. When you go to choose a restaurant, do the amount of reviews or the score of reviews, whether 5-star, 1-star, does that not affect your decision at all? For most people, I think it's probably the number one determination factor. That's a good way you can say that, of whether or not they're going to eat there. Same thing with your podcast. When people come to your podcast, what makes the show look legit is a bunch of great reviews. So push for them, ask for them, ask your guests every single time you do an interview, send a follow-up email. Hey, I love that interview. Just one favor. Could you leave a review? If they don't leave a review, 72 hours later, hey, saw you didn't leave a review yet. It's really important. I'm sorry to bug you again, but I would love if you could leave a review. Boom. Now, if every guest leaves a review, if you're on episode 100, shouldn't you technically have 100 reviews? Or maybe they're not all guest interviews, but you know what I mean? It's like a free review every single time from somebody who truly understands the show. So that is one way to get reviews. But then obviously also just asking like when you're the end of your episode, you know, in your outro, or even just asking like people as you are, if somebody says, hey, I listened to your episode, I love that episode, say, oh, great. Hey, just wondering, because you loved us so much, do you think you could leave a review? It really helps us. Search for them wherever you can. Each one counts. Each one that you get is a win. Number 24, read reviews you get at the start of your episodes. This is so cool. This is something that I actually haven't done. We don't have a ton of reviews. I'm pushing for it. We're going to have a ton. We're going to have hundreds. But right now, it wasn't something that we've been focusing on for a while. But reading your reviews, of course, like number one, it's going to make the person who left the review feel so insanely grateful. But on top of that, it's also going to show to your listeners, hey, he reads reviews. Hey, I could leave a review and he would mention it and that would be kind of cool. So just a little strategy. Number 25, come up with endless episode ideas by listing the top 50 questions you get asked in your business. Easiest way to come up with episode ideas. What do people ask you? I think I mentioned this before too. What are the questions that people ask you in your day to day? What are the problems that you hear them struggling with? Your podcast episodes are just answers to questions. They are medicine or treatment for problems and pains that people are dealing with. That's all it is. People listen to podcasts for self-improvement, to learn something, to improve. That is the majority of podcast listeners. They listen because they want to improve. So our episodes need to serve as answers and serve as solutions to problems. So the easiest way to find those episodes, especially for solo episodes, right? Because interviews, you might just meet somebody and be like, hey, you're really great at email marketing. So why don't you come talk about email marketing as it pertains to podcasting? That's another way to come up with an episode idea. But when you're doing solo episodes, what do people ask you? That's the easiest way. That is it, people. That was like rapid fire. But I know, I mean, even just thinking back to what we just covered, I know that this is probably one of the most valuable episodes I've ever recorded. I'm really, really excited that I put this together. I like the idea too of like taking a post that resonated, because this post did pretty well too, and be like, hey, this is a perfect podcast episode. So use that strategy as well. That's very meta. So you can use the strategy of how I did this episode about how to be a better podcaster. And now I will say before this episode ends that if you could leave a review, as I mentioned before, it helps. It really does. I told you all about it. I told you why you need them, why I need them. It'd be great if you could leave a review for all this work that I put in. It really is a lot of work. Put in a lot of effort into the show. I love the response I get. I love hearing people's comments and saying that this episode helped them or whatever. It's super rewarding. So anyways, that is it. And I will see you on the next episode. Hey, just before you go, I'm really happy that you made it to the end of this episode. It means the world to me. I only want to ask for one thing in return for putting together all this content for free. And that's just leaving a review. If you can, wherever you're listening, if it's Apple or Spotify, just leaving a quick review is super, super helpful for us. It's going to help more people find the show so I can keep putting this content together for free. Thank you so much. And we will see you on the next episode of Oh My Pod.